Now, if you're into Instagram, you'll be kicking yourself if you weren't in Europe over the last week or so. The Beast of the East came thundering through, bringing ice to the canals of London and snow to the beaches of Naples. All very pretty, but it's only part of the story. Rome, this past week, was colder than the North Pole, which hit the staggering heights of plus 2 degrees. Yep, above freezing point, in what was still winter in the North Pole. And the two things, many scientists say, are linked. It's all due to a disturbance in the polar vortex, where unusual warmth at the poles is displacing cold air, which has to go somewhere.
The jet stream steers the low pressure systems, and they are taking new pathways. And as they take new pathways, we get warm air intruding into the Arctic, and some of the cold air has to go somewhere, and it goes south. So paradoxically, a warming climate on the planet can yield at least cold air outbreaks during winter in some parts of the world, Korea, Japan, Europe today.
Now that is Kim Holman, head of the Norwegian Polar Institute, speaking on RN Breakfast. So we've seen how it looks in Europe, but how are things looking in the Arctic Circle, in Greenland, for example? Let's find out. Kenneth Hoog, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Fantastic. I think this is the first time I've ever spoken to someone live from Greenland. So this is a first for me. We're delighted to have you with us. Kenneth is the head of the Ministry of Independence, Foreign Affairs and Agriculture. And you're joining us from Nuuk, I think it's pronounced. Is that so?
Yeah, that's correct. That's the capital.
And it's about 5:30 in the evening where you are right now. So what's it like outside right now?
Well, it's been a sunny, beautiful day, very calm and just below zero. We have had some very warm days just 2-3 days ago where we had up to 6 to 8 plus, which is quite unusual for us at this time of year.
Because it is still basically the tail end of winter, isn't it, really there? What happens when the temperature gets up to the giddy heights of 6 or 8 degrees? Do you see a lot of melt?
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of melt, but you're also, everything gets iced over. I mean, the snow is melting and it becomes extremely slippery everywhere. So it's not something that you really like.
You don't want to get too warm, do you? Now, of course, the capital is down in the southwestern corner, I suppose you could call it, of Greenland, which stretches all the way up deep into the Arctic Circle to the north. What's happening at the northern end of Greenland, as far as you understand it?
Yeah, I mean, there has been extremely warm weather this winter in the far north, in all the way up in the northernmost part of Greenland and Peary Land and northeast Greenland. They have had temperatures above zero, which is extremely rare that they get that. I mean, usually they are down at minus 30, minus 40, and it's just been above zero up there.
So what do you in Greenland, what's the conversation about there when you see these temperatures? Do you see opportunities? Do you see cause for concern with these temperatures?
Well, I would say both. I mean, naturally, the temperature as such is a limiting factor for us. I mean, if it gets cold up here, we are going to have big trouble, you could say. So it shouldn't get more colder than it is today. So, but still, it also creates problem when it gets warmer because you have to do things in another way than what you used to. If you are used to one regime and it changes, then you have to adapt. And that's what we see.
Now, there was a Viking civilization on Greenland for hundreds of years that farmed, raised grain crops. It was a somewhat warmer time. Can you tell us briefly about that history in Greenland?
Well, probably they didn't grow that much grain, but it was mainly, you know, for animal husbandry. But they were actually in Greenland for hunting. That was the main reason why they were here. They lived for the farming, but lived from hunting. And so they were living off the sea, as we do today still. So, and the climate wasn't actually that much warmer than it is today. It's actually, it's been said that the climate regime that we are living through right now is probably warmer than when Eric the Red arrived.
So what's happening there in terms of the way that Greenlanders live? How is it being affected as you're seeing these warmer temperatures?
Well, I would say that we see generally over long spans of time, we see an extension of the growing season, and you know, spring is coming earlier than before, and autumn is later. And but I mean, it's not something that we can feel. I mean, a degree or two doesn't make much a difference for humans. But we see it in the sea. We see it in relation to fish stocks. We see some fish species that we didn't know before, like mackerel and tuna has moved in. And actually, I think we have been up to 20% of our exports is for mackerel, which is quite astonishing, given the fact that it wasn't here 10 years ago. So, that's mainly on the ocean side that we see the big changes.
That is amazing, isn't it? Well, so do you see, I presume, effects in the pack ice? Does that have an impact in hunting techniques that you use? Does it make the sea even rougher because you don't have so much ice there as a sort of a mitigating factor against the storms?
Yeah, yes, it does. And I mean, the traditional indigenous hunting of Greenland, the Inuit hunting of Greenland, is the and the livelihoods and from where the, I mean, both you know, much of the protein of the that we can obtain up here is from seal hunting, and also the skins for the national costumes and so on are from the seals. And And we do, and that's a thousand year, many thousand years of culture that we speak about. And it's becoming harder to hunt the seals. We are supposed to have 11, 12 million seals, and we are harvesting probably less than 100,000. So it's not that we are. It's not a threat in any way, but it's getting harder for these traditional hunters to reach the seals because of the pack ice is actually calming down the waters, and without the pack ice, the ocean is much more wild and having big waves, and it's much harder to go hunting. So,
are you seeing among the traditional Inuit loss of life as they're somewhat fragile boats, or there are other methods to get out there on towards so they can go and hunt the seals? They're more vulnerable to the weather.
I mean, if you have high seas, of course, in small boats and so on, it's much more risky than what it used to. Yes. So I haven't seen any statistics, but I think it's obvious that that will happen, of course.
Now you're listening to Kenneth Hoog, who's joining us from Nuuk in Greenland, discussing the weather patterns there at the moment. What are the summers like at the moment, Kenneth?
Well, big variations, I would say, and much drier than what they used to. That's my impression. We have had some very warm summers within the last, since the turn of the century. We have had very warm summers, but also some few quite cold ones. So,
what is a warm summer in Greenland?
A warm summer would be that we have a few days during July above 20 degrees. That's very, very nice. But generally a day temperature 12, 15, 16, something like that. And then during the night, maybe 5, 7, something.
Yeah. Are you seeing people, given that it's becoming more comfortable to live there, are you seeing migration? Are you seeing people coming from Denmark, other parts of the world to say, look, this looks quite interesting. I wouldn't mind having a crack at living in Greenland for a while.
Not that much, but I... But we do see more other people than just people from the kingdom. I mean, the kingdom constitutes Greenland, Denmark, and the Faroe Islands. And today you see people from the Philippines, from Thailand, and so on, Germany, the U.S. and so on. So yes, there is an influx, but it's not a massive migration at all. But there is a bit of migration into the country. But one thing I noticed is that people are getting interested in horticulture.
Yeah.
So tell us,
Greenland was basically, as far as I understand it, it was pretty much a treeless land. That's changing though, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, we are seeing there are some few experimental plantations on the west coast of Greenland in the more warmer parts that was planted within the last 50 years. And what we are seeing very interestingly is that some of these tree species, which has developed into trees, proper trees, they're actually able to mature seed. It's actually tree species that used to grow here, you know, before the Ice Age. I mean, so you could say that they're finding a foot again, a place to live.
And what impact does that have? Because obviously the trees bring their own microclimate, they bring their own ecologies to them, so you know, which is new and distinct essentially from the rest of Greenland. Are you noticing a new biology arising around that that redevelopment of trees?
Yeah, you do. I mean, you do get like fungi, new mushrooms are getting arriving on their own, so that's interesting to see. But I think the reason right now what it can do is actually making just Greenland a nicer place to live. Trees are, I think, for all people around the world is something life giving, yeah, and something positive. So, but maybe in the long run, if this warming trend continues, maybe it could actually become economical, so that it could be commercial. But right now, it's not at all.
But that matters, doesn't it? Because Greenland at the moment is sort of halfway towards independence. It has its own autonomy, I suppose. You're going to fill me in the gaps in my knowledge. But to move to full independence, you have to be an economically viable entity, I suppose. Do you see the warming climate, with all the consequences of that, giving the potential for Greenland to become economically a viable place, that it will help in that regard?
Well, I would say that, as I already said, the main obstacle for humans in Greenland are the low temperatures. So the low temperatures, so the warmer it gets, the more possibilities, and thereby making it more easy for us to survive here. So yes, that would have impact on our ability to have independence, yes.
And what about mining? There's been a lot of talk about opening up resources that might exist there. Does the warming temperature affect that? I presume there's a fair degree of local debate about whether that's a good thing?
Yeah, I mean, the accessibility, of course, will be easier to reach those mineral resources. So yes, a warming climate would also be something positive, and there are several projects underway. So I'm pretty sure we will see some projects in the years to come. So, and I'm sure that they will benefit as well from global warming in all terms. Yeah.
Well, it's been fascinating to spend just a few minutes there exploring Greenland, at least through your eyes, very briefly. What do you do now? You go home, you turn on the heater, settle in for the night?
Yeah, I'm going home and get something to eat, and yeah, I got some work to do still.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, look, thanks for taking time to talk to us. You've been listening to Kenneth Hoog there, coming to you live from Nuuk, the capital of Greenland. Fabulous, Kenneth. Thank you very much for joining us. You're listening to RN.